I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading for today is Revelations 21:10, 22, and chapter 22:5. And in the Spirit He carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and the lamp is the Lamb. Nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehoods, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accused will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and forever. The Word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Johnny. This scripture that Johnny just read has some very important points in it that concern us every day. It's something that I see every day. It's something that I especially see when I do counseling. But I don't think there's a person here that's at some point in their lifetime, even now, that they haven't felt insecure. This scripture appeals to people who are insecure, and it was written for that reason, to help people who were feeling insecure. Now, I don't know if you're insecure about financial worries or a relationship or government, whatever it is, but throughout our lifetimes, we always have some point at which we become insecure, even if it's the first time we go to church camp, never been. So we get insecure when we go. Or we go into the military, we've never been. So once again, we become insecure. Now I want to give you some background on this particular book of Revelation. It is believed and can be fairly certain that it was either authored under Nero or Domitian. Either way, there was persecution going on. People were dying in droves. People were being raided at night, taken out of their homes, and thrown to the lions, or in some other way killed. So this book comes out and it says, keep up the hope. Don't give up. You hear the descriptions in this, and the description is, even if things don't work out here, they're going to work out there. Would you not be insecure if you felt somebody could come into your home at any moment and take you or take your family and kill them? This book addresses that directly. It has been said people are never more insecure than when they become obsessed with their fears at the expense of their dreams. And a lot of people have the dream that if I become a Christian, then life's going to be great and God's going to do all sorts of good things for me. Basically, the world ceases to be the world. And it just becomes heaven on earth. And they found that wasn't true. Being a Christian involves being someone of faith in spite of the things that are happening on earth. Now, some of you may have heard of this person. There's a mural artist, and his name is John H. Zorthian. And John H. Zorthian did murals all over the world, but in particular, you can go up into the Northeast and see a bunch of them in museums and around that he's done. He was very famous for this. And one day, Zorthian was looking at the news, and there was this 12-year-old boy that died. And it upset him because the tiny boy had been out in traffic and a car hit him and Zorthian just couldn't handle it because he had three kids of his own, and he became fearful that his own kids could be killed. It scared him so bad he went from New York to California, and when he got to California around Pasadena, he decided he was going to get him a house out in the country, far away from people, to protect his children. So he found a house up on a mountain with a winding road. It took a long time to get to his house. And he thought, this way my kids will be safe. There's no traffic. They don't have to worry about a thing. But then he got a little more obsessed, and he says, you know, it's going to be really important that the house be safe. So he designed the interior of the house, had it redone so that it would be a safe home. We thought, well, now my kids will be safe. But no, you know, he became a little more fearful, and he said, but even on a mountain road, what if someone were to drive up here and my kids were playing near the street? So he made this beautiful playground around the house with a nice fence that no car could get through. It was away from the main road. And he thought, that does it. I've made my home safe. I've made the playground safe. My kids are safe. Well, but then he became a little more worried, and he thought, now, the garage. I need a garage where I can't back out, no one can back out, and run over one of the kids. See how this process is going? The fear is eating him up. So he decides he's going to do a drive-through, a half circle, the garage. You drive through, then you open the other end, you drive out. Problem is when he talked to the people who were going to build this garage for him, they started to work and it started raining, so they couldn't pour the concrete. So it delayed having that garage made. Well, as you might be guessing, Zorthian got in his car one day, backed out, and one of his toddlers broke loose from his sister, ran behind the car, got hit, and died instantly. That was February 9th, 1947. That was the day his 18-month-old son, Tiran, died. He became so obsessed with his fear that he got away from everybody, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and he said, oh my gosh, I've got to protect him more and more and more, and it still happened. And we oftentimes become obsessed with our fears, do we not? It is in those moments we are most vulnerable. It is in those moments that we are likely to make the most horrendous mistakes, is when we act out of fear. I can tell you, in a battle, when bullets are flying and someone becomes anxious and says, I got to get out of here, they raise up and you lose a friend. Because of fear. In this passage, there's an image of the qualities of life that make up the new heaven and the new earth. Did you catch that as Johnny was reading? John, the writer, uses the descriptions of walls, streets, buildings, the river, and vegetation to symbolize the characteristics of the new Jerusalem. Listen to this. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day. and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Doesn't that sound great? Perpetual peace. I mean, we get a vision of a fortress here. God is over this, and no one can get in to hurt them. And so here's these Christians who are being thrown to the lions, who are being slaughtered for their beliefs, and they read this and they say, that's what I want. I want peace. I want to feel safe. So John addresses that insecurity. Then there's this. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They would need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Can you imagine anything more secure than that? You got food, you got everything you need. You got God and you got Jesus, and they're there protecting you. And God's name is on your forehead. And if you were during the time of Nero or Domitian, that's going to be very comforting. God's name on your forehead. And imagine no more night. How would you adjust to that? Aren't we used to sleeping at night? But you're not going to have that anymore. A world where there is light 24/7. Or is there a 24/7? Personally, that does not sound appealing to me, as I said, because I don't know how I'm going to sleep. But will I need sleep, or will sleep even be necessary? I don't know. If you were living in those times, though, these words sound good. I'm not going to go to bed tonight and worry about the Romans coming in and taking my family. I'm not going to worry about bad things happening in the middle of the night, because there won't be any night. How many times have you heard someone, perhaps even yourself, saying, I can't wait to walk the streets of gold? I've had people tell me that. They come in and they say, oh, I wish the second coming was right now. I can't wait. That's what this book does. Kind of makes you look forward to the trip. It is in imagining, believing one will have a better life after death that sustains so many of the Christian faith. And it is here, only here in the book of Revelation, that one receives such promises of eternal light, of God's name on your forehead. 12 kinds of fruit on either side of the river, a river of the water of life. What a wonderful promise of security. I don't have to worry about going out and buying groceries. But guess what? Here's the crunch on the book of Revelation. I ask that you pay close attention. There is still this life on earth, and that is what Jesus talks about. Think about it. We got Revelation talking about how great it's going to be when you get away from earth. You go into heaven, but not Jesus. Jesus talks about how great life can be here on earth if you serve God. Not how one should just look forward to life after death, but how one may live life to the fullest right here, right now. And if we get too caught up in this story, we forget what we're supposed to be doing, do we not? You know, the people who are sitting back saying, oh, you know what, I'm just going to hang on because I'm going to walk those golden streets. Gates control entrances and exits, and that's nice to imagine such a place that is so protective, but Jesus does not speak of controlling your environment with gates and walls and defenses. Jesus speaks of controlling yourself. Does he not? So that you may be a true child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus talked about all the different people and how they contribute to making life on earth better. Making life on earth better. If we forget that, it's easy to sit and just wait for the glorious day in which God's name is going to be on our forehead. And Jesus says, hold on a minute. You got something to do right here. Something to do right here. There was a boy of 12, his name was Jim, and he was a nice young boy, and you know, his mother became very ill. The doctor came and saw her, and he explained to Jim and his father that in all probability, Jim's mother was going to pass. Well, the day came. Jim's mother was taken from this life, and she died. Then it dawned on Jim that maybe one day he would die too. The thought really scared him. If you think of death, does it scare you? You can imagine the sorrow in Jim's heart when he saw his mother lying in that casket and then put in the ground, her lifeless body, never to see the light of day again. Where is she now? Jim wondered. Where is she now? Maybe she had gone to heaven. Is there such a place? Jim asked. Or maybe when you die, you just stop existing. Jim's confused. He's not really sure. He's only 12. Jim decided that he was going to think his mother was with Jesus in heaven. Comforting thought. That's great. We could say when Jim says that, we say, you know, he finally accepted Christ. He understands how it works. Life's wonderful. But the story didn't end there. The first few nights after the burial, Jim started to have nightmares about his mother dying. And he told his dad, but his dad assured him that those would eventually go away. Time heals everything. But when the nightmares passed about his mother, then he started having the nightmares about his own death. Jim had once heard a preacher mention something about a place called hell, where there are lots of flames and bad people are tortured every day. Jim started to have nightmares about hell. And he wondered whether, should he die, whether he would go to heaven or hell. Jim tried to think of himself as a good person and that he would surely go to heaven. But the nightmares kept on coming. The nightmares had a terrible effect on Jim because as he had these nightmares and his fears increased and he became increasingly fearful of life, his friends gave up on him. They thought he was weird. He began to have fears of spiders, of heights, and he developed claustrophobia. Jim gradually began to lose friends and more friends and more friends. They didn't understand him. And folks, I've had people like that in counseling. Their fears run away with them. Well, Jim's in quite a state, isn't he? The question is, what state are we in? What state are you in? Are you fearful of life? Are you fearful of what happens next? Jesus gave us great direction when he said, become a follower. If you're actively working for God, if you're carrying out the ministries of Jesus Christ, you don't have time to be fearful. Once we become insecure, our lives can become a mess, and we may seek security in all the wrong places. And we have a society who likes alcohol and drugs and bad relationships. And we wonder, why do they stay with that person? But for them, that's security. Where we're standing, that's not so good. However, if our security is found in our faith, if our security rests in the Lord Jesus Christ, then what we seek has been found. Because again, we're going to be so busy with the ministry of working and helping and being with others and loving others and healing others that all those fears fall to the side. Because if you're active in your ministry, which each of us have, we don't have time for all the fears. We have time for faith. If you believe you can help someone, you can. If you believe you can be there for someone like the Nailings, you can. Even if you think you can sing, you can. Be about the ministry. Be about the work of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, all too often we look for security in the wrong places. It's nice to read words of comfort, but it doesn't change the fact that we have a life to live here on earth. And if we're going to truly live that life, then we need to live it in your name and do your work. For that is where our security is in you. Be with us and fill us with your Spirit that we may go forth and do your work without fear, but with love and compassion in our hearts. For we ask this in your Son's glorious name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.